Welcome to Triad Arts Up Close. I'm David Ford. After last month's hugely successful performance by the award-winning Miami-based vocal ensemble Seraphic Fire, the Friends of Music at St. Paul's series featuring unique solo and ensemble performers continues on Friday night, April 13th at 7:30 with the Baroque Chamber Ensemble, Ensemble Vermilion. The group features Baroque violin, cello, harpsichord, guitar, theorbo, a cousin of the lute, and recorder. It was founded by cellist Barbara Blaker Krumdijk and her sister, recorder player Frances Blaker, to explore lesser-known as well as familiar repertoire for chamber ensemble from the 16 and 1700s. Last week, Frances spoke with me by phone from her home near Berkeley, California. Do we know through letters that a really passionate Seraphic Fire or Apollo's Fire, whoever interpreted, or Ensemble Vermilion interpretation of a Baroque piece is, quote, accurate in terms of that exciting dynamic contrast?
There are letters. People did write letters. You know, they would go traveling throughout Europe, and if they had an interest in music, they would go to concerts, or they might hear music in church, and they did describe things like that. One of the things I was just reading about with LeClaire is that at a certain point, he met up with the equally famous Italian violinist, Locatelli.
And we should point out for listeners, you're talking about Jean-Marie LeClaire, one of the composers featured on the concert here in the Triad.
That's right, and he was a violin virtuoso as well as a composer. And he met up with this other virtuoso. I can't remember what country they were in at the time, and there was a contest of their playing. They each played probably their own music. And LeClaire was described as being the angel and Locatelli the devil, because LeClaire, one of the amazing features of his playing was his beautiful tone and his very moving melodies. And Locatelli apparently played with a deliberately scratchy sound on purpose to move the audience.
Yeah, I love stuff like that. That really gives you some insight, Frances, for listeners of the, there's, you know, early music is a lot like detective work.
Definitely like detective work. And that's one of the fascinations. I mean, anybody who's read detective novels, you know, you get hooked on these things. When you take up an instrument like the recorder, you naturally get thrown into early music because that is the heyday of our instrument. And so, you know, I didn't search for early music. I came to it through my instrument. And once you start playing it, you start getting these little hints about how it was played. You read these little descriptions, and of course, they're never completely full descriptions. There's always some question that you still have. You search for the answer.
I guess a line of interest in this is the evolution of the form, or development of musical forms found in works in this period, 17th, into the 18th centuries. What are some of the major trends or examples of that evolution in, say, harmony or form, especially, I guess, the French and Italian styles during this period, because that's going to be featured on the program?
Yes. You know, in a nutshell, the Baroque period started with the birth of opera and beautiful vocal lines and melodies and then lots of ornamentation going through those things. Also, in the Baroque period, you had a huge exploration of harmony. And at first, the harmonic patterns were more simple. There wasn't a harmonic language. That language developed during the Baroque period and still exists today. You know, the dominant chord leading to the tonic chord.
Yeah.
That really developed in the beginning of the Baroque period. And of course, as we went through the Baroque period, composers experimented a lot with how you move from one chord to another. And so in the early Baroque period, we're also going to play a sonata by Henry Purcell, who wrote his pieces, I think, around 1696. In the Henry Purcell music, you'll often get a very surprising harmony all of a sudden, just because it's not what we would expect. We who've heard Bach and Handel and Telemann and later composers expect certain chord progressions. And in Purcell, you hear surprising ones. By the time we get to Bach, the patterns have been laid down. And he starts to experiment with, I can't remember the term in jazz, when you put extra notes on the chords.
Oh, yeah, like,
hold them up higher.
That, like sharp 11, flat 13.
Yeah, all those things.
Yeah.
Bach is doing all that kind of stuff. And he, of course, wouldn't have thought of it exactly in the same terms, but he's making experiments like that. LeClaire uses wonderful harmonic passages. I mean, I like the way he puts his chords together. But they're not as experimental as Bach's. He doesn't go as far.
Okay.
He's not the devil. He's the angel, remember.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And Bach had a little both, didn't he?
Well, oh, yes.
That's a whole other story. But we won't
yeah,
go there.
He did. Well, I was going to go back to the difference between French and Italian.
That's important because each country had their own specific styles, and Bach, of course, being the master of being able to select from all those with his various suites.
Yes. We can use that description of the two violin players, LeClaire being the angel and Locatelli the devil. it was said of the French that they liked to move a person's soul through their music, where the Italians liked to shock. So you have, at least in the early part of the Baroque period, you tend to have more virtuosic writing from the Italians. You have a lot of 16th notes and fiery playing. And from the French, you have more fluid. Well, it's not that it's more melodic, but it's that they're more focused on the melody. They do have virtuosic things in their music, but that's not the main focus. When you get to a composer like Bach, he starts to combine these two things. Also, you have different styles of musical ornament. In the Italian style, a player would play the music written on the page, but they would also add various flourishes and little scales tossed in here and there and lots of additional notes. A French player would also add lots of ornaments, but they would be an ornament that occurred on one note, like a trill or a mordant, you know, things that affected just one note rather than these long coloratura ornaments.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. In fact, ornamentation, I'm glad you led me there, Francis, because that's one other thing I'm sure listeners would get a kick out of. Mordants, turns, trills, the ornamentation, especially in the Baroque, this florid period where everything was all gussied up, is so important in this period in terms of performance practice. Could you give us just, I mean, I'm sure in the concert we're going to hear a mordant, we're going to hear a trill. Could you give me just a couple of examples of ornamentation on the recorder and how you might approach that in a context?
Yeah, let's see.
Even if you were just to play the difference between a little mordant or grace note and a trill, you know what I'm getting at. Just a kind of a little variety pack of ornaments.
Okay. I'll do some French ornaments here. Now, the trill and the mordant are also used in Italian music, but not nearly as frequently. So here we go. There you have a trill and then some mordants. I'll play a little melody and put on some French ornaments, because one of the important things were grace notes, appoggiaturas, extra notes that sort of lean on the notes that were written in the melody.
Perfect. Yeah, listen out for the little notes here.
Might be come. You put the extra appoggiatura in there. And then you could add a trill and a mordant, too. Just keep going.
My thanks to Vermilion Ensemble co-founder and recorder player Francis Blaker. Ensemble Vermilion comes to the Triad courtesy of the Friends of Music at St. Paul's series on Friday night, April 13th at 7:30 at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Winston-Salem. The group features Baroque violin, cello, harpsichord, theorbo, guitar, and recorder, and they'll be performing works by Bach, LeClaire, and others. You'll find links to more information on our website, wfdd.org/triadarts. And you can hear my complete interview with Francis there as well. I'm David Ford. Thanks for joining me today for Triad Arts Up Close.